Welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I am Bill Barnwell. Today, Will Brinson of CBS will be joining me in a minute. We're going to draft the teams who missed the postseason this year on their chances of making it back to the postseason in 2024. But first, wanted to talk about some news that broke today and how I feel about it and why I think it's the wrong decision for the Chicago Bears, who decided today to make some changes with their coaching staff, but not go the full Monty. They let go Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, let go some of his the people underneath him as well. I expect others will leave when they hire a new offensive coordinator, but they're keeping head coach Matt Eberflus. And I can understand why if you're basing it on what happened last year, but I don't know that it's the right move for the future. So let me explain. Matt Eberflus is a defensive-minded coach. He's come into Chicago with a resume that is, I would say, limited at the highest level, but did do a great job building a culture and a good defense with the Colts. It developed a lot of young players during Matt Eberflus' time there, especially at the second and third level, guys like Shaq Leonard being the most prominent example there. Eberflus has improved the Bears' defense drastically. Over the second half of the season, they allowed 1.44 points per possession on defense. That was the second best mark in football. Now, if you've been reading my columns about Bill Belichick or the Patriots, or you've heard me talk about it, the Patriots were number one in that category over the second half of the year. So quietly, those defenses took a major step forward. And you have to give Eberflus credit. Jalen Johnson has emerged as a good player right before Eberflus got there, and he's been banged up a little bit the last couple of years, but he's taken a big leap forward this year. He's been a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback. Montez Sweat didn't love the trade. Guess what, Bears fans? So far, you're right. Montez Sweat has looked awesome for the Bears so far as a edge rusher, a much-needed addition, of course. I think we all agree they needed to add an edge rusher before the start of next season. Still need another one. Still need that sort of interior pass-rushing tackle that Eberflus had with DeForest Buckner in Indianapolis. But the defense has taken major strides forward, and Eberflus deserves credit for that. But the problem is, the most important thing for the Bears to do as they approach this offseason, which is going to be very dramatic in one way or another, is develop their quarterback. And from my perspective, the vast majority of people I've spoken to around the NFL believe the Bears are going to trade Justin Fields and draft a quarterback. Perhaps this decision points in the opposite direction. Maybe they're going for some continuity based on how they ended 2023. But if they draft a quarterback, the first priority has to be developing that quarterback into a star. And if you have Eberflus as your head coach, that caps the amount of time and the range of candidates you're going to have to develop that quarterback. Doesn't mean they can't hire somebody great. Of course, teams hire OCs who are very good. But even in that scenario, if you hire a really good OC to develop your quarterback, he's probably leaving after one good season, the same way that Bobby Slowik is probably going to get a head coaching job and leave the Houston Texans, where he's to help develop CJ Stroud into a superstar in his first season. Guys like Ben Johnson, or Slowik, for example, guys like that who are going to be head coaching candidates with multiple opportunities this offseason, they're not going to come to the Bears to be an OC, even if they love Drake May, even if they love Caleb Williams, and they know they can get that guy if they want with the first overall pick, because you're not going to take an OC opportunity somewhere if you can be a head coach and, you know, influence the quarterback situation in a different way somewhere else. So on top of that now, let's say the Bears draft a quarterback, Eberflus's defense maybe not quite as good next year, and they decide to go in a different direction. You can always fire Eberflus and hire a new offensive coach next year to be your head guy. But you're then starting over with a new staff in your quarterback's second season as a pro. And as Robert Mays pointed out, I believe on this very podcast, that's exactly what happened with Mitch Trubisky, and that's exactly what happened with Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields might have been 2 years as opposed to one, but you get the idea. They changed their staff while Justin Fields was there. Either way, actually, no, I think it was 1 year. Either way, you get the idea. Your quarterback's development is interrupted. He has a new scheme, a new coaching staff, new rules, new playbook, all that stuff. Doesn't have to start over necessarily, but he has to start in a different way. And so a lot of teams take the logical step of aligning a new staff in a year where they're going to be taking a new quarterback and having an offensive-minded coach as the leader of that staff. Something wrong with hiring a defensive-minded coach. DeMeco Ryans seems to be doing quite well in Houston. But if you want to have the best chance for your quarterback to develop under the same coach, same scheme, same system for several years, which I think is the optimal strategy, most people would agree, Eberflus, even though he's fixed the defense, probably needed to go. All right, joining me now here as promised on the Bill Barnwell Show. Always love to have my friend on to talk about some of the weirder ideas we have. And frankly, I love this one. This was one where I came up with it and I was like, man, I'm going to do this every year. This is a fun bit. So I'm really excited to draft the non-playoff teams and their chances of making it back to the postseason in 2024. And joining me to do that is a frequent contributor to the show. It's CBS's Will Brinson. Will, what's up?
Bill, what's going on, man? I don't know how long I've done it. I stopped writing for like a year and a half. So maybe you've done it.
You're back.
I'm back. I write now. Yeah. But teams who make a leap, I think we saw four. We hit the average again this year, right? Where teams who didn't make the playoffs are make it to the playoffs the following year. The NFL is fickle. It's not like the NBA. Well, I guess baseball. I don't know which is. I wonder which the college football, maybe the least fickle of all. It was weird watching the Michigan and Washington because like that's not Clemson, Alabama, or Georgia.
Yeah.
Or Ohio State? What are you doing here?
What are you interlopers doing here in my college right. football final? Like if you didn't watch or pay attention to a single second of college football until the final and you turned it on and you were just like, what?
Yeah.
No. Am I watching third place game somehow?
Yeah. Did multiple teams, you know, secede from college football? Dabo and Saban started their own league? I mean, like what's going on here?
They joined the United Football League?
Right. I'm excited that Michigan's Jim Harbaugh is going to be maybe coaching one of the teams we're talking about today.
It feels inevitable, right? Like
it's happening. When
he won and he was like, oh, I don't want to talk about it now, guys. Come on. Well, you know, it's happening.
Hey, can't you let me enjoy this for 12 hours, guys?
Yeah. Like Jim Harbaugh, who like last year when they lost was like about to take interviews within 36 hours if he could. And the same thing 2 years prior where he was taking the Vikings interviews. Like, come on. Like, it's okay.
He's also refusing to sign a contract extension that would pay him like $20+ million a year. But the the reason he won't sign it is because there's a clause that prevents him from interviewing with NFL teams this all season. So, yeah, he's gone.
Yeah. Just love the idea of like his agent sending the contract back and like, hey, this is great. We just have one minor change. We send it over in Word. And the one minor change is just that line crossed out about don't negotiate with NFL teams. Right. And they're like, no.
I also noticed, I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was one of my colleagues and I can't remember which one, but
they all blend together according to Will Brinson. They're all the same.
All my CBS college football colleagues are the same. Chip Patterson, Tom Finelli, same person. Danny Cannell, Bud Elliott, the same random screamer about FSU on the internet. I think that they were like, you know, it's a shame to see colorful characters. Like, I want colorful characters like Jim Harbaugh in college football. And I wanted to reply or quote tweet and say, you know, Jim Harbaugh was boring until he got to the NFL. Stanford Jim Harbaugh wasn't that exciting. He's fine.
No question.
San Francisco Jim Harbaugh is the guy who screamed at Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, that's exactly the thing I was thinking of. It took a fight with Jim Schwartz to get him to open up and show his.
Now, I will say that I guess technically Stanford Jim Harbaugh did have that weird beef with Pete Carroll.
That's true. But that felt more like a rivalry as opposed to like, I'm going to fight you on the 50-yard line.
Pete Carroll was like, what's your deal? He's
like, well, you just have two people who have like polar opposite energy. Like Pete Carroll is like, they're both very optimistic, but they're optimistic in entirely different ways.
Yes. Have you ever seen the press conference with John Schneider and Pete Carroll?
No. I probably forgot about it.
I know it's like 6 years old, and it's when Harbaugh left and went back to Michigan. Or I guess it was like into his Michigan tenure because he'd been there 9 years, which is crazy. But they're sitting there talking, and somebody asked like Pete Carroll about something. He's like, yeah, Coach Harbaugh's, you know, done a great job. And like as he's like praising John Harbaugh, John Schneider turns and looks at him and goes, what's your deal, man? It is. I'll send it to you, but it is just hilarious because like Pete Carroll's like, well, and then he starts laughing because he realizes that they're both making this like kind of inside joke, but kind of outside joke about John Harbaugh. It's pretty gold.
Yes, that sounds great. We have a bunch of teams to get to, one of which will probably be employing Jim Harbaugh next season. But we're going to rank them. We're going to start with the most likely teams to advance to the postseason again in 2024, down to the team that has the worst chances of advancing to the postseason next year, just including the teams who are not playing in the postseason this upcoming season. So 18 of the league's 32 teams. Will, you, of course, are the guest. I feel like I must encourage you to go first.
Or as we like to call it, Chargers chicken. Who's gonna cave and take the Chargers first? It won't be me.
Okay.
Well, I shouldn't say that. It could be me. By the way, the Chargers finished 5-12 this year. How do you finish 5-12 with Justin Herbert? It's incredible.
Incredible.
I honestly think that, like, and not to, you know, belabor the point on Jim Harbaugh, but if I knew where Jim Harbaugh was going, it would dramatically alter what I do with whatever team that is in the draft. We talked about this maybe the last time I was on, but I mean, I remember you writing about it at Grantland, Bill, when you're like, there's like NFL teams should take advantage of the fact that there is no salary cap for coaches. Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh took over the 49ers. They hadn't had a winning season since 2002, and he went to 3 straight NFC championship games. Why is somebody not throwing $40 million at Jim Harbaugh?
Right. The year before, Niners fans were chanting, "We want Carr," referring to Derek Carr, at Mike Singletary on the sidelines as he was, like, very conspicuously debating whether to bench Alex Smith. A year later, Alex Smith was running in a touchdown against the Saints in the greatest playoff game I ever saw to advance to the NFC Championship game. A lot changed once they got Jim Harbaugh there.
And all Jim Harbaugh had to do was take his Padres hat off and put a Giants hat on. I will never forget that. It's like all of a sudden Alex Smith, who's a huge Padres fan, shows up in a San Francisco Giants hat. And Harbaugh is basically like, dude, this is easy step one. Just stop being a jerk. Like, all these guys are Giants fans. They don't want to see you in a Padres hat. Anyway, with the first pick of the Chargers Chicken Draft, sponsored by Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's? I don't know. I will take the Cincinnati Bengals.
Number one on my list as well. Good choice.
Had to be. It's pretty self-explanatory. Joe Burrow, we hope, knock on wood, will be back and fully healthy and play a whole season. They made it sound like they're not, like, T. Higgins isn't going anywhere at 9-8. They don't have a great draft pick, but I think that I wouldn't be surprised if they were the team that maybe reached a little bit on my guy, Peyton Wilson out of NC State. They have two NC State defenders on their rosters already, and Jermaine Pratt, shout out High Point, North Carolina, and BJ Hill. Peyton Wilson would be a great fit in Lou Anarumo's defense. They've done a very good job drafting guys and sort of adding talent to this roster. If we get a healthy Joe Burrow, I see no reason why the Bengals don't make it back to the playoffs.
Only thing you might say is the quality of the division. We have three playoff teams there in the AFC North and three playoff teams, while one of them starting Joe freaking Flacco in the playoffs. So, I think that's the only thing you could say. The AFC is going to be tougher, but I agree with you. Bengals, easy number one pick for me. Number two for me, I go to the NFC, and I go to the folks we just mentioned, the Seattle Seahawks, who did finish 9-8, took a little bit of a curious final game of the season and a late victory to get them there. But defense, I think, will be better. I've been saying that for about 5 years now, so I'm a little concerned, but they'll get a full season from Devon Witherspoon, who was awesome last year. They were, I think they probably move on from Jamal Adams. Maybe they could use that money elsewhere in terms of fixing the defense. Have plenty of infrastructure on offense, young playmakers, a young line, much younger on the offensive side of the ball than the defensive side of the ball. And I still think Geno Smith is a good quarterback. He had some ups and downs. We saw Drew Lock, have that great finish against the Eagles. But overall, I think Geno Smith is a better option and will be there in 2024. And to me, I think there's so many candidates on the top of my list for the AFC that I'm comfortable pushing an NFC team up, because there's just not many really good teams in the NFC right now.
Don't mind that at all.
Doesn't sound like you agree, though. Doesn't sound like they were your number two team.
I mean, the Seahawks I had as my – I had them kind of down low.
Wow.
I was a little surprised, actually, because I thought I would have them a little bit higher. I don't. I do think that, the aforementioned Pete Carroll, who is a very good football coach and is going to be back, and John Schneider and has added a bunch of pieces, and the whole Russell Wilson thing changed everything about them. But I'm going to go – and stay in the NFC and make a bit of a mistake here, but a bit of a projectionable mistake.
Okay.
I'm going to suggest, Bill, that the Atlanta Falcons.
Ooh, way down my list.
Really? Well, I think they're a quarterback away.
They're a head coach and a quarterback away. Those are two hires.
They just fired their head coach. Right. They don't have a quarterback or a head coach. Like, they literally don't have a head coach. I do think, though, that this is my projection here. I don't think Harbaugh is going to be in the mix there. I think Belichick is going to be sneaky in the mix if he's let go. And if he's not, then I think this is a prime landing spot, as long as he's not, you know, afraid to offend his former offensive coordinator and potentially, you can't bring him, can't bring Arthur Smith with him to Atlanta. Mike Vrabel. Why not go to the Falcons, sort of like the Titans of the NFC, take over this team in this terrible division?
Yeah.
I mean, the Saints are, you know, the Saints have Jameis Winston leading, you know, touchdown victory formation coups against Dennis Allen. The Buccaneers, you know, the Bucs were fine, but any team could have won. Like,
yes, no question.
Take any other team and put them in this division, and you feel like they do a really, you know, they're like if you put the Rams in this division, they win 14 games or something like that. So I'm going to project that the Falcons make a good hire here because it's an attractive job, and that the non-contending Falcons are able to secure a quarterback, whether it's by trading for Justin Fields, whether drafting somebody, or whether it's signing maybe even Kirk Cousins. Hmm. And the Falcons are a playoff team next year in a bad division with an upgraded head coach and quarterback.
You're selling me a little bit. I'm willing. I see what you're saying here, Will. I don't disagree with you. I think they should be higher up than I had them, but they have to make the two biggest hires any team can make in the weeks to come. Head coach and quarterback. That's the tough part for me. A team that has a head coach and a quarterback, who I have at number four, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were about to be the one seed in the AFC if they just beat Jake Browning and a Bengals team without Joe Burrow in primetime, and then everything went wrong. Trevor Lawrence got hurt. They forgot to have a cart, or decided they weren't going to use a cart to take him to the sidelines. He got hurt like three
times.
To the locker room. The defense fell apart. Everything went wrong. They missed the playoffs altogether. They fired Mike Caldwell and his staff. We talked about that on Monday with JP Acosta. I still think having Trevor Lawrence is good. And I know that the Texans and Colts surprised this year and they deserve a ton of credit, but I do think that the Jags are still, to me, the best team in that division. We'll see what they do this offseason. Don't know if they're going to re-sign Calvin Ridley. They definitely have some work to do. They probably have to pay Trevor Lawrence a lot of money, but I think they are a team with some changes here and there, some minor changes, an offseason to reflect on what went wrong. I think they'll be in shape to win the division again in 2024.
The Jags were actually, I think, second on my board. Okay. But for some reason, I was like, I need to take an NFC
team. You got, you know what? You have a board, but once you get the draft day, well, it's not about the board. It's about your gut. It's about what you feel in the moment when you're worried about me taking.
The value in the Falcons is just pathetic. I mean, like, you weren't touching the Falcons for three rounds, and I took the Falcons.
That was the Clelin Ferrell of this draft, I believe.
Oh no!
No,
that's, I think it's a what a great comp. I mean, it's like, does that make me Gruden or Mayock?
The Daniel Jones of the draft.
Oh, ouch.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better with the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country. There is no competition. And right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a Jet's Pizza location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay. Who's your number five? Who's the fifth overall pick for you?
I'm going to do something that I can't believe I'm doing here. Actually, maybe I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to take this team as a correlate. This is a correlated pick with my Falcons pick.
Oh, wow.
Well, so here's the thing. The Justin Fields stuff with the Falcons, I think, is legitimate. Maybe more legitimate if Arthur Smith had stuck around, because he seems to be the type of quarterback that would fit his offense. Nevertheless, if Justin Fields goes to the Falcons could be a playoff team. If Justin Fields stays with the Bears, I think the Bears could be a playoff team. Now, the Bears have the number one overall pick, courtesy of Carolina. The Bears have two picks. The Bears actually, where did the Bears end up finishing?
Nine. They have 1-9, I believe.
Two top 10 picks and a loaded draft.
For offensive players.
Loaded draft for offensive players. This, if you need a quarterback and a wide receiver, I think the tackles are pretty good this class.
Or a tackle.
Yeah.
Those are the guys who are going to go in the top 10.
This is the draft you want to have two top 10 picks. If there was one year, Bill, where you don't want to give away the number one overall pick, this is it. He's David Tepper, ladies and gentlemen.
The Panthers are set at quarterback and wide receiver and left tackle. They don't need any other players there.
Oh, yeah. They're great. They got a coach. They're fine. Did you see the Panthers? I think it was my old colleague, your colleague, Jeremy Fowler, reported that the Panthers are actually blocking the Jaguars from interviewing their defensive coordinator. It's like, come on, guys.
Let the people leave Carolina in peace. You've already done enough for them for one year.
Oh, now you don't want to fire somebody. Okay. Sure. I'm going to take the Bears. I think the Bears have a good chance after finishing 7-10. The Bears hype got way over its skis multiple times this year. First before the season when...
That's never happened before.
Oh, my God. I know, right? Justin Fields closed at 25-1 to win the MVP. Absolutely the dumbest odds move of the entire... Oh. What's worse?
I was going to say Trubisky a couple of years ago when he was
that was
like,
bad. That was bad.
When he was like 20-1, and even the oddsmakers were like, "Don't do this. This is a bad bet."
Who did he play for then?
Played for the Bears.
I know. It's like Arizona. Who? I can't wait for Caleb Williams in 2 years to be 20-1 to win MVP. I mean, the field stuff was insane. People were talking about the Bears as like a sleeper team. It's like, dude, the Bears have a long way to go. They did fire several offensive coaches today. That's not a great sign for a team you're drafting to make a leap forward. But they're going to have a quarterback, whether it's Justin Fields or Caleb Williams. Like, they're gonna have somebody we believe they can win with at quarterback. There's a decent, if they have Justin Fields, there's a decent chance they have Marvin Jones Jr. to add to DJ Moore. Like, there's a lot there, and I buy into Matt Eberflus as a defensive coach. You know, signing off-ball linebackers in the offseason, again, the hype train around that too much, but it is what makes his system go. And this team drastically, I didn't love the Montez Sweat trade, mostly because of Chase Claypool PTSD, but
sure.
This is a defense that got much, much better down the stretch. And I don't think Eberflus is a bad coach. I think he's in a bad situation. And really, if you name it, you shouldn't ever, like, I wouldn't want to, like, replace Will Leach as a writer somewhere, you know, because, like, it's a Will, two sure. Wills, you know?
Sure.
Like, Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles didn't need to replace Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. It's just, I realize you save on the engraving on the doors, but it's just too much. Too similar.
That never occurred to me.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's just lead the R and the P.
Seems like they would assign Matt Ryan at one point to be their quarterback, and yet here we are.
I know, right? Then you get both. Oh my God, what a triangulation that would be. So yeah, I'm going to take the Bears. I think the Bears are a potential playoff team in a watered down NFC, even though it looks like Detroit is a team that's set for the long haul, and Green Bay may have found yet another quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about another team in the NFC North later on in this show. I'm going to do it, Will. We've waited long enough.
Chargers chicken.
Do you know Justin Herbert's good at football, Will?
I think he is, right? That's why he keeps winning 5 games a year, right?
I wrote that I don't think this job is as appealing as it was because Herbert's now more expensive. They have, you know, some of their core players like Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, either old or going to be free agents. They're not in great cap shape. Some of their first round picks, I don't know if you heard about Quentin Johnston, Will, not up to expectations so far during their pro careers. Joey Bosa has been hurt most of the last couple of years. Like that was such an appealing job when Brandon Staley took it. Now, not as much, but still got Herbert, can still throw the ball pretty far. And I think that's going to be appealing to some of the promising coaching candidates this offseason. So maybe they're the ones in this scenario who get a Jim Harbaugh. And yeah. I know the division's tough, but I know that the AFC is tough. I think they're better than the Broncos, better than the Raiders with decent coaching, which I think they will have this year. So to me, I'm going to go with the Chargers here at 6.
Have you, this got on my radar because of my buddy Darren Smith out in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't want to linger. I think the Chargers are a good choice. I definitely thought about them. They probably have, the playoff odds are going to be better than the Bears, more than likely. Are you aware of the John Spanos situation in with the Chargers?
No.
So John Spanos, who, as you might guess, is the son of the owner.
Yes.
Is the president of football operations with the Chargers. You may also guess that he did not. Well, I guess his bio technically suggests he did earn the job.
Sure.
However, I think if we're being realistic here. So he did a bunch of, he went to the NFL's executive education program at the Stanford Business School in Palo Alto, California. And in his bio, which this is really bothered. This thing has been just on my radar aggressively for like the last 6 weeks, basically since Staley was fired. It really bothers me that they haven't updated the bio either. Spanish ascension within the organization coincided with one of the most successful eras in franchise history. From 04 to 09, the Chargers won 67 regular season games, good for the third most in the NFL over that span. Goes on to brag about how great they were. Then we get to named executive vice president of football operations in 2013. One of his first priorities in that role was the hiring of general manager Tom Telesco. The two have guided the Chargers to 3 playoff appearances and a pair of postseason victories.
You know, just imagine the Chargers lost in the wilderness and Spanos' family is saying, no, follow me. I will lead you to
In 2018, Spanos helped assemble a squad that tied for the AFC's best record and reached a divisional round of the playoffs following a wild card victory in Baltimore. In 2021, Spanos and Telesco hired Brandon Staley. And it goes on to like, it's just, it is so bizarre about how much it brags about what, how he's, his ascension within the Chargers coincided with this incredible run. It's like, dude, this team can't stop losing in terrible ways.
Yes.
And they're terrible now. They've been awful lately. And so that's my one concern with this team is that I sort of think we have, and I realize I just took the Bears who employed George McCaskey. It's just, and
we just saw the Texans win the AFC South with Bob McNair. Like anything is possible.
Going to Cal McNair.
Cal McNair, excuse me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. The Cal McNair David Carr story is the greatest thing of all time, by the way.
There's lots of
all right, I'll move on, but I worry a little bit about that. I think it's sort of flying under the radar in terms of, you know, we talk about ownership and how that's a factor. Like, you know, the concerns are like David Tepper in Carolina. Mm-hmm. I just worry a little bit, and I wonder how a Jim Harbaugh taking over that job. I could see some things,
no question,
happening with it. Okay, Chargers are off the board.
That in that vein, there's an article I've never talked about it on the air before, but it's one of my favorite headlines and subheads of all time. It's from one of the Denver newspapers. Why the Rockies hired Sterling Montfort as one of the major's youngest pro scouting directors. Quote unquote, he did it the right way. Montfort worked on the Coors Field grounds crew in college before starting as a coaching intern with the Rockies in 2013. Of course, as you can probably guess, Sterling Montfort is the son of the owner. He did not do it the right way. I mean, he did it the right way if you want to be sure you get a job. He did it the wrong way if you want to get that job on merit, and the Rockies suck. So
It's like when Arthur Smith is hired by FedEx in a couple of weeks, and it's like,
yes,
surprise.
He did it the right way. He went to be a football head coach before coming back to FedEx. Anyway, Will, sorry, it's your pick. Go ahead.
No, that's great. It's like, why? Here's why. It's like very clearly planned. It's like, and you can only get away with this stuff. I get, you can get away with it at any point in time because it's, you know, nepotism at its finest. But
sure,
like, I feel like you had to really, if you do this in 2020, you're not getting that article planted in 2023.
Yes.
Or is it written last year? It's an older article, right?
It's like 2019 would be my
guess. Oh, wow. Guess. All right. So that's pretty recent. Maybe? Okay, good. Well, good for him for doing it the right way.
Yes, good for him for doing it the right way. Anyway, well, it is your selection at number 7.
All right. Well, you know what? I think I'm going to, speaking of ESPN employees.
No.
No.
He's not an ESPN employee anymore.
Don't bring it up or don't pick the Jets.
No, he's not an ESPN employee anymore, as of, I think, 20 minutes ago.
Wait, what?
I believe he is no longer appearing on ESPN programming, to my knowledge, based on reporting from The Athletic. And according to, source.
That is 20 minutes ago.
Mr. Pat McAfee.
Wow.
Maybe he'll appear later on. Who knows? Maybe we'll be lucky enough to hear more about Aaron Rodgers and what he thinks about anything. But anyway, well, you're picking the Jets, you say, with the number 7 pick. Why are you picking the Jets?
Aaron Rodgers, for all of his off-field foibles and bizarre takes, is still, I think, a really good football player. He's aged in a way that I believe he can be successful.
Sure.
The injury happened early enough in the season. And the Jets should be desperate enough to fix the offensive line, knowing what they saw from Zach Wilson and
I hope so.
Whoever else all offseason long. The defense should be really good. So I will I'll take the Jets and add an AFC team to my portfolio.
Okay. I'm sticking in the NFC. There's value there. You picked the Bears and the Falcons. I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings, a team that was in playoff contention until December, despite cycling through quarterbacks every 2 weeks, not really knowing what they were doing. I mean, Jaren Hall came in for different stretches. We saw Nick Mullins and his crazy lunatic way of playing football for stretches. Joshua Dobbs was in and good. Kirk Cousins was playing awesome before his injury. We never really had that stretch of like Kirk Cousins is playing the way he played last year. And the defense took the step forward it took, you know, sort of after the first 2 weeks of the season. If we got 17 weeks of that, I think the Vikings would have been a playoff team. They might not get Daniel Hunter back, which is a concern. We don't know what's happening at quarterback with Kirk, but I do think they have better infrastructure than most teams. So I'm going to take the Vikings here at 8.
It's a good pick. I think Kevin O'Connell is probably a really good coach.
Me too.
Yeah.
Unless it comes to picking a quarterback, in which case I really think he just throws darts at a dartboard and it's like, Josh's week this week.
And by the way, the theme for 2023 has to be backup quarterbacks, right? I mean, that's what I'm going to think about when I think about this season. I mean, the Browns made the playoffs and started 5 different quarterbacks.
Yes.
Browns might win the Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. Who's to say? But they're not. They're in the playoffs, so we can't talk about them. I think this is where the draft gets really interesting, Bill, because there's several different ways you can go. Oh, man.
A lot of it, I think, is projecting what you think is going to happen this offseason, right? Like there are teams where you don't know who the coach or the quarterback is going to be.
I'm trying to decide. I'm between two teams right now where I know both. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to take the Colts.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking too.
Yeah, they almost made the playoffs with Gardner Minshew. Shane Steichen, I mean, this is sort of like a, I don't know if it's fair or not, but I think you can take a look at what the Eagles did offensively, couple it with what the Colts did offensively and suggest that Shane Steichen is a good head coach. So I'm in on Shane Steichen. I think they've got enough pieces around Anthony Richardson where this should be a playoff team. My biggest concern, frankly, is the health of Anthony Richardson running that offense, because not everyone is going to be Cam Newton or Josh Allen when you take that much contact. And boy, did he get hurt a lot in a short amount of time.
I thought you were going to say the health of Jim Irsay.
That's concerning as well right now. Honestly, I saw that. I kind of feel like that's flying under the radar a little bit. I think my grandmother, you know, she had Alzheimer's, but you know, when she got sick, she got a respiratory disease. And you know, when you're that old, like that sort of thing is very, very concerning.
That's 100%. It is not a minor thing. Certainly from how the Colts have reported, you know, from how it's been talked about, that is a very, very concerning situation. Bringing it up to make light of it. I'm bringing it up to be very serious.
No. I'm just extremely concerned about it. Yeah.
Like it's, you know, Jim Irsay is a character. I think it's fair to say, obviously, you know, when Jim Irsay is spending millions of dollars on guitars, I think it's okay. Or tweeting about analytics, I think it's okay to, you know, poke fun at this very wealthy person. Maybe it's a little out of touch, but Jim Irsay is a person. We hope he is going to come through and be okay. But when you have a team where, by all accounts, Jim Irsay is running things. It's not like, you know, like I think he's making a lot of, if not day-to-day decisions, at least he's like, you have to run stuff by him to make day-to-day decisions. I would be concerned how that impacts free agency. You know, how much money do you have to spend?
I agree.
You know, like who are you going to be like, hey, can we spend $40 million on this wide receiver? Can we sign Michael Pittman for $25 million a year? I hope that they have some kind of process to deal with that if Irsay is unavailable, but I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's absolutely a concern. I mean, Irsay was the primary reason that Jonathan Taylor missed the first 4 games of the season.
Yes.
You know,
very much so.
Yeah. I mean, and the Colts, by the way, 2-2 in those games. You could argue that's what they beat the Ravens, which is just weird. In Baltimore, you could argue that Jonathan Taylor wouldn't have been the difference in the two losses, but you know, one win and they finished 10-7 and they're in the playoffs.
If BJ Goodson catches that pass, they might be in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. So the Irsay thing, him managing everything is a concern for me, but I think they have enough there to win right now.
Me too. It gets tough for me here, man. This is where I start having serious questions. I think I'm going to say the Giants.
I like the Giants.
I think the Wink Martindale stuff is very
I was about to say. He cussed out Brian Daboll and stormed out. I got him to play to Sarasota. Like, so he's wearing like the same outfit he wear. Did you see the New York Post? Was like,
yes,
in his trademark black joggers. It's like, what?
Yes,
that's not that. You don't trademark black. Like, do I have trademark black joggers?
Yes.
Does it work?
Yes, Bill Barnwell in his trademark blue jeans walking down the street. No, I someone else wore jeans first, and I was like, oh, I'll do that too. That seems like it's a
comfortable. I mean, I'm currently wearing gray joggers, and I think would be often called like Will Brinson in his trademark fish t-shirt and gray joggers. Like, okay.
Classic.
Trademark classic Brinson. Slob.
I mean, good for Wink Martindale that he has a look that he feels like. Now, to be fair, if you are like, what head coach is wearing a Kangol at the airport? There's only one answer to that question.
Right. Bruce Arians in his trademark. That's a trademark Kangol.
Yes,
I don't know.
No,
like, it's like in his trademark khaki pants.
Yes.
Although exactly. I guess Jim Harbaugh has trademark khakis.
He does. He's the only one. He is the only khaki guy out there.
Yeah.
But you get the idea. Like, that is a very curious situation because he was the reports were he was going to stay. And then I believe the reporting now is that the this sort of feels like something where they were basically daring him to quit, where they fired his two lieutenants who were very close to him. They felt like he sort of had a fiefdom on the defensive side of the ball. And Wink Martindale reportedly just said a lot of F words to Brian Daboll and left and went to Sarasota. And presumably is going to sit out the final year of his contract because the Giants don't want him to go to the Eagles or to, I think, the Rams were another team that came up if Raheem Morris gets a head coaching opportunity somewhere else. So very curious situation about what happens next with the Giants on defense. But I think we saw some strides, definitely some talent on that side of the ball. They played some teams tough. They won games with Tommy freaking DeVito and Tyrod Taylor late in the season. They just blew out the Eagles in week 18. There's pieces on the offensive side of the ball. I still think Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka are good coaches. Don't believe in Daniel Jones, but this could be a team that drafts a quarterback in the first round. Would not be shocked in the slightest if they went out and drafted a quarterback. Maybe they go out and get another wide receiver to help Daniel Jones. So to me, I believe the Giants are in a division where I don't know what the Eagles are going to do next year. Like, they're projected. I know I had them on my list of teams to decline this year and they declined. They had like an 8.6 win Pythagorean expectation. So I'm going to have to confront the possibility of the Eagles declining again in 2024.
Wait, did they really?
Yep. They outscored their opponents by like 8 points all year. They were stinky at the end of the season.
They were, I mean, they lost to the Cardinals and the Giants to close out the year. Like, just, I mean, they
badly.
And they should have lost to the Chiefs. They should have lost to the Bills. They could have lost to the Commanders once before the bye. I mean, they could have lost to the Giants on Christmas. They could have lost out after their bye. 8-1 to miss the playoffs. Hey, let me just really quickly, because this, I've heard this talked about in varying degrees. I'm curious what you think. If the Eagles were to lose to the Buccaneers in the wild card round in Tampa Bay as just like 2.5 point favorites, so not a huge favorite. Any chance Nick Sirianni gets fired?
No.
Yeah, no. That's the answer. It's like, no.
I don't know, Jim. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. But I do believe they could fire Brian Johnson, and I think they have to fire Sean Desai.
The Panthers requested Brian Johnson for an interview today.
That has to be a mistake. That has to be that they requested the wrong person, right? Like, it just they had to have made a mistake. They wanted Ben Johnson. They got Brian Johnson instead. He's going to show up to the interview, and they're going to be like, "So tell us about the Lions." And he's going to be like, "I don't know. They look cool. Like, they run the ball better than I do."
So what do you think about Jared Goff? Are you like friends with him, or just
yeah.
He's like, what, yeah. Yeah, sure, I'm
like,
cool.
What's he like?
Yeah, he's great.
Cool. I mean, he seems like his girlfriend seems cool. I don't know. Like,
do you think that Brian Johnson could actually put on Lions clothes and convince David Tepper to hire him? Like he'd go and be like, hey, I'm B. Johnson.
Yeah, I'm that B. Johnson.
I actually prefer to go by Johnson. Just call me Johnson.
Call me Mr. Johnson, sir. Yeah.
And you just wear Lions stuff the whole time, even though you're the Eagles offensive coordinator.
Call me Mr. Johnson, the really good offensive coordinator. That's my full name. Sirianni, I mean, anything is possible. You know, the Raiders, they fired Jack Del Rio after he went 12-4 and he was terrible next year to hire Gruden. Like, the thing is, like, who are you replacing him with? Like if you
Matt Patricia,
that's the thing. Like if Bill Belichick is like, you know what? I want to coach the Eagles. That's my one dream. My entire life has been to coach a team that wears green uniforms, and I don't want to coach the Jets. Maybe fire him. If Jim Harbaugh is like, listen, I don't want personnel control. I trust Howie Roseman. That would be a terrible fit. Let's just say I trust Howie Roseman. I just want to coach Jalen Hurts and company. Okay, maybe you do it. But like, I don't think you fire Sirianni to just be like, hey, let's give someone else a shot. Like, I think you have to be tactical about and intentional about who you would be firing him to replace him with. But
he's in the Super Bowl less than a year ago. It's crazy.
He was like the beloved coach of Philadelphia.
Yeah, like he's like, yeah, he screams at fans. He's like, that was for yeah. Frank.
Like, yeah, right. Like that's how far it's come. We're like, anytime the Eagles run the ball, they're getting cheered because their fans are so sick of the offense. Just want to point out, well, I mentioned this on Twitter. Nobody believes me, but it's true. Big Dom, the Big Dom curse is in full effect.
Oh, the Big Dom curse. Yeah, that's a good point.
1-6 since Big Dom.
What is Big Dom the Who's the sign stealer for Michigan? I guess they won the title, so that's not a good example.
No, it's the reverse Connor Stallions. He is back for the playoffs, though, so we'll see how it goes. Maybe he'll inspire the Eagles to a victory over the Bucks.
I think the Eagles are one and done, personally. But
I pick Giants. It's now your turn.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna. So the question is, do I want to go with a team? I've got two teams that I'm debating between. Do I go with the team with no quarterback or the team with no coach?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with the team with no coach, and I'm gonna do it so you it's in the same division as your Giants. It's the Washington Commanders.
The Washington Commanders are my last place team on my list.
Really? So
they are last on my list.
How could you possibly have the Commanders below the Panthers?
Because the Panthers already have a quarterback. You might stink, but the Commanders, I think, are going to take a step backwards before they take a step forwards. I think they're going to have a quarterback. I think they're going to try and build an offensive line around the quarterback. But I think they are in tank mode for the next year.
Really?
Yes, I do. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But this is Josh Harris.
That kind of rules out the idea they'd get Belichick then, right?
Maybe if they get Belichick, they'll go in a different direction. But I don't know if that's a real thing. That could just be Belichick's agent trying to be like, hey, look at this rich guy who seems to do smart things. He'll probably want to hire Bill Belichick.
He's from Annapolis. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm from New York. I don't think I want to go be the GM of the Giants or the Jets, though.
I'll be the GM of the Panthers and just tell David Tepper yes to everything for several million dollars a year.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people from the Northeast who were born around the time Bill Belichick was born. A lot of them want to move to Florida or California. I don't think they want to be in. They want to be like, yeah, let's get back to Annapolis. I just want to be cold and on the water constantly in an old decrepit stadium with no talent on the defensive side.
That's a fair point. I guess I can't go back on my Commander's pick, can I?
No. I mean, I could be wrong, certainly.
No, I mean, I think, look, the division is not easy. Same thing with the Giants, right? I mean, it's a tough division. I mostly wanted to point out that when I ranked the coaching vacancies, I actually put Washington at one because I think ownership makes it a really attractive job. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to make the playoffs, of course, you know.
No.
Of course, maybe it's a Brian Daboll-like situation from last year where this team that has no business making the playoffs ends up making it. Losing Montez Sweat, losing Chase Young is a problem. They do have skill, skill position guys. They're going to have to improve the offensive line. They don't have a quarterback, but they do have the number two overall pick. And it's possible that they could, as I joked in my article, draft Drake May, pair him with Sam Howell, hire Mac Brown from Carolina, and win 8 games a year, just like the Tar Heels.
Mitch just not getting in as the backup quarterback.
Then you signed Mr. Trubisky too? Oh my God.
Yeah.
That actually got, that joke got published on somebody took it and posted it to Inside Carolina, the Carolina 247 yeah. Carolina message board.
Sure.
It was like, Princeton's a state homer. This is crap. And people knew me from college, like making up lies about me. Scandal. It's a big text. It's been a big source of discussion on the text thread. But so that's mostly what I wanted to do is make that Mac Brown joke again. I do think though that the Commanders, this team was trash this year. 4-13. They won last on November 5th, and they got blown out by good Dallas, blew them out, Miami blew them out. They hung in there down the stretch at least a little bit against some teams. Like they barely lost to the Rams, barely lost it. Mounted that comeback against the Jets. I think Ron Rivera, who noted that he's been managing for 3.5 years and finally got to coach the last few weeks. It's like, well, Ron, you lost by 28 points in week 18. I don't know if I'd say that. I just think Ron Rivera is fine being done there. Like, I think, you know, he's a good guy. Wouldn't want to quit, but I mean, shepherding a second straight franchise sale through a scandal. Like he had to deal with the end of the Jerry Richardson run, Mr. Richardson, and then had to deal with the end of the Dan Snyder run. Like, how is he not just mentally exhausted at this point? I think you get either Caleb Williams or Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whoever we end up deciding is the best quarterback. And it could be a case where if you hire the right person and make the right free agent moves, you could be like a poor man's Houston Texans type of situation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not out of the realm of possibility. I'd give you that. And certainly I'm not hopeful about any of the teams at the bottom.
Texans would have been very low on this list last year.
No question. You're 100% correct about that. Getting right head coach, right quarterback can transform your franchise quicker than anything else.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm going to talk about a team that has maybe no head coach, maybe no quarterback, and might transform quicker than the Commanders, and that is the Las Vegas Raiders, who were a team that does not have a quarterback, maybe doesn't have a head coach, depending on if they want to hire their interim coach, who I think did a pretty good job down the stretch, frankly. Las Vegas Raiders, where we saw enough from them, I think, in the Antonio Pierce era. They beat the Chiefs. They were competitive week after week, pretty much. Had a little couple breaks go their way. They beat the snot out of the Chargers. They got Brandon Staley fired. To me, I think the Raiders are kind of a Commander situation, except they have a lot more to work with on the roster than the Commanders do. They just don't have the second overall pick, which is going to be a problem given that they need to get a quarterback. But this is the most desirable destination to me, at least locale-wise, for free agents because of the lack of income tax. Vegas is very popular. I think they could be a team where if they want to compete, they could go out and get some guys this offseason.
It feels like, man, if they hire Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
And I honestly think that I had the Raiders like fourth, I think, in my coaching vacancies. And I think 1 through 4, Commanders, Chargers, Falcons, and Raiders are all really, really close. And you can sort of nitpick, you know, whatever you want about them. I mean, the Herbert thing's great, but the roster issues, you know, ownership, et cetera. Like, Mark Davis wants to win. And I don't think that I think what happened, if you look at the, you can ask questions about the hirings and the firings, the Jack Del Rio thing, but he knew he wanted to get Gruden. And when he knew he could get that big splash guy, he was going to go do it. Rich Bisaccia, and Gruden, the circumstances surrounding Gruden departing, like the Gruden thing wasn't working because the personnel stuff was a disaster, but you know, that he didn't run him off. Rich Bisaccia is an interim. He does a great job and he can get the big splash guy again. I think that's what it's coming down to is I think he'd hire Antonio Pierce if he didn't think he could get Jim Harbaugh. And I think it's one of those two guys. And that's why he hadn't committed to Pierce. If he wants to get Jim Harbaugh, I don't blame him. I think Jim Harbaugh in the silver and black, he'll go get your court. Like, did he draft like JJ McCarthy at 13 and just run it back? Michigan style. Like, I think Jim Harbaugh would win big in Las Vegas. And I don't think he would care that he's getting in the division with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson, who are also out there. But yeah, I think the Raiders are positive point differential this year. I don't know what their Pythag was, but I think that they could, with the right, I think it's a bet on the coach, where like, whether it's Antonio Pierce or Jim Harbaugh, you're probably going to get a decent effort from this team next year. I kind of feel like I don't even like this team. The Saints are sitting out here. They went 9-8 this year.
They did. Do you think they're going to be better or worse next year?
I worse. I don't want to take the Saints. I'd rather take the. I'm not going to take the Saints. I'm going to take the Broncos.
Okay, they're off the board. Broncos. Okay, why the Broncos?
Sean Payton. Just a bet on Sean Payton.
I mean, that was my logic this year. I was like, the Broncos are going to playoffs because I'm betting on Sean Payton. That did not turn out to be a good bet.
They did go 8-9 and were a much, much better team for a big chunk of the season, other than the beginning and the end, which was not.
In the middle, they were phenomenal.
They were great in the middle. I don't know what Sean Payton's going to do at quarterback. I trust him to find an answer. I don't buy into the whole idea that it's like, well, without Drew Brees, this guy's a loser. It's like, this guy's he's been a really good head coach for almost all of his career. The Russell Wilson thing is a concern, because if you end up cutting Russell, because you're not going to trade him, you cut Russell.
$85 million in dead cap.
Bill, how many times over the last 5 years have you written the phrase, the breaking the record for most dead cap space?
Five times, I believe, because it's been five off seasons, if to my knowledge.
Sean Payton's about to go up top on it. 85 yes. million.
Sean Payton doubled down on the dead cap record. They're going
to
do it.
Yeah, they had to cut him, right?
There's no other choice. You can't bring him back after you benched him for a couple weeks. There's no way to. He has no trade value. So,
because if you bring him back, you're guaranteeing his contract unless you get him to restructure this offseason.
Yes, but I don't know if the PA will let them do that. Like, that's a really bad precedent to set of, okay, if you stink, we're going to pressure you to, you know, to turn $35 million guaranteed into an unguaranteed. Like, I think, was it Brady during his time with the Patriots had like an $18 million guarantee coming up and converted it to like 19 non-guaranteed, which was really weird, but it was Brady. And so I think they were like, well, they're not going to cut Brady. But with Russ, like, it's very clear they're threatening him, like, either make this change or we're going to cut you. So
right. Russ is like, well, then cut me and I'll take my $35 million.
Right. I'll take my $35 million to go play somewhere else.
Right.
So I'm just very skeptical if that'll be something the PA lets happen. But maybe, who knows? Stranger things have happened.
Well, and keep saying. Well, once the PA came out and said, them trying to do this, Russell talked about it, them trying to do this is against the, you know, against the collective bargaining agreement, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know, anti-union or like whatever. It violates rules on like state, federal, and local employment laws. You've heard Sean Payton come out and say, you know, like, he's really hammered home the performance aspect of it. You know, he's like, well, I mean, we're just saying, you know, performance based, you know, several times to make sure that they don't get in trouble for that.
Yeah. George Payton was like, totally separate things when we were talking about making Russ change his contract, and Sean Payton benched him late in the season. So his injury one had nothing to do with the other, guys. Totally different situations.
Sean Payton
talked to each other.
Sean Payton would never push the envelope on the rules and laws of workplace environment.
Yeah, right. It's like when you have like one child who wants to go get ice cream, and then your second child's like, oh, I actually also was thinking maybe we should go get ice cream. It's like, you guys had a conversation about this. Yeah,
you guys haven't talked at all. So like the rusting with $85 million in the dead cap. It's an outrageous number. I don't know. Can you field a, trying to think if they do the post June 1st release.
They could do it.
Yeah, it's 35-4 and 49-6. If they do that release, isn't he guaranteed the 35?
He is. He's going to get 35 no matter what. Probably, I don't know if there's offsets on the deal, but like he's going to get the minimum somewhere else to go play. Maybe he'll get $5 million somewhere else.
I guess they could cut him before the guarantee kicks. Then the other guarantee kicks in and just designated a post June 1.
Yeah,
they have to carry the 85 in dead cap through all of free agency.
Yes. So they'll carry 39.6 through free agency and then have the cap space or not have cap space, so not saving anything on it. But then have 49.6 next year all year as well. So, I mean, can they do exactly what the Saints do to create cap space in the short term while messing themselves in the long term? Yes, they can. Is that a great idea with one of the oldest teams in football? Probably not. But you hire Sean Payton, you're going to get Sean Payton's accounting team. So this is where we are with the Broncos.
Somebody get Jairus Byrne in here ASAP.
Yes. So who do you think will be the quarterback for the Broncos week one next year? You don't have to pick a rookie, but will you say a rookie?
I'll say a rookie.
I think they used their first round pick on a quarterback.
Has Sean Payton ever used what's the highest pick he used on a quarterback?
Was it Garrett Grayson or Garrett?
Probably like a third round pick. That's interesting.
Probably a three.
So they have the 12th overall pick.
They could trade up.
I could see him trading up.
Imagine if Harbaugh goes to a team Dude. Picking after them, and then Peyton takes McCarthy in front of Harbaugh.
Well, if he goes to the Raiders, who have the 13th pick, and the Broncos have 12.
Yes, dude, that'd be so sick.
Can we get Sean Payton and Jim Harbaugh twice a year? Would be fun as hell.
That would be.
They're just like Sean, Harbaugh. Like get like say Sean Payton against the Falcons when he's like doing the joke, like you're a joker. Harbaugh screaming at him, man, let's get that happening, please.
Yes, that would be great. Your opinion. Let's lightning round through these final few.
Yes,
here.
Yes.
I will say Cardinals, where I think they're going to keep Kyler. You know, I think they showed plenty of positive signs this year that they were going to be competitive, like what Brandon Gannon did. Some cap space to work with next year. You know, 2 first-round picks. I think they're in good position to be more competitive in 2024. And if some breaks go their way, playoff team.
I will say I will take the Saints. Now, I hate the Saints. I will reluctantly take the Saints. 9-8 expected. Actually, outperformed. Their tag is 10.5. So. Yep. I don't trust Dennis Allen at all. I think scapegoating Pete Carmichael is a huge mistake. That's Pro Football Reference blasting on my computer. Sorry. the tactical shaver. But the division's bad. Derek Carr is a nice floor quarterback. And even though the defense and some of the pieces on offense are getting older, you do have Chris Olave, who looks like he could be a superstar. A.T. Perry and Rashid Shaheed have been nice, like complimentary pieces, I think. Jawan Johnson, okay. So I think you got enough there on offense where you get a good coordinator in there, you can win. I do worry, though, that Dennis Allen is just not a very good coach.
Yeah, this is the oldest team in the league. They're locked into basically everybody coming back, and they're only getting older. So that's my only concern there. Yeah.
I think they went later than they probably should have, but we just both don't like the Saints.
Yeah, I think that's what it boils down to. I would have taken the New England Patriots over the New Orleans Saints, and I'm going to stand by that. I'm taking the Patriots here. Well, do you know who was number one in the NFL in points allowed per game on defense over the second half of the season?
I'm going to guess
Points allowed per drive, excuse me. It was the New England Patriots, who inherited terrible field position, who had a bunch of guys where I'm an NFL writer, you're an NFL writer. I think between the two of us, we could probably name 6 guys in the Patriots defense right now. Like, they were playing with nobodies, and they were bawling out under Bill Belichick. So I don't buy a single bit of the Bill Belichick does not know how to, you know, work with younger players. He's lost his touch. Yeah. He is still a defensive genius when it comes to getting the most out of his players. So they make right moves on offense, which they have a high pick. They could draft a wide receiver. They could draft a left tackle. They get a quarterback, which can't be much worse than what they had this year. Jets maybe aren't that good with a 40-year-old lunatic at quarterback. And the Dolphins.
Is Belichick coaching in this circumstance?
Probably, but maybe they hire someone else. Maybe they get lucky. I don't know. I mean, I think
Mike Vrabel.
Back if they haven't fired Belichick yet, when everybody was reporting basically he's out, kind of seems telling.
It does. I think the timing of the Vrabel thing is really interesting, too. Like, if you want Vrabel, I mean, Vrabel's not going to sit around and wait. Would he sit around and wait for Belichick to get fired? Do they even want to fire? Belichick doesn't seem like he wants to go. It seems like the vibe I got from him is like, I want to, let me just break Shula's record here, Bob. Come on, buddy.
Yeah, right. And I mean, maybe, you know, he came out and said, I'm willing to give up personnel. And like, the reason he's with the Patriots, not the Jets, is that he wanted that personnel control to begin with. So we will see. Watch by the time this comes out tomorrow morning. Bill Belichick, like six coaching moves have happened. Two more teams are left.
The Titans and the Panthers.
Yes. So who are you going
to
leave on?
I said the Panthers are terrible, but the Titans have nothing. So, I got to go the Panthers. I mean, the Panthers have no first round pick. They're giving the number one overall pick away to the Chicago Bears. It's the Bryce Young trade. We can't talk about it as the worst trade in NFL history because he's too young, and Russell Wilson also happened in the last 2 years. So, but I mean, it looks really, really bad. Having said that, it's a terrible division. The defense played awesome down the stretch and has plenty of talent on that defense. You know, they were sort of shifting the formation and the scheme that they were using. I think that threw them for a loop early on in the year. You know, you got to figure out what you're going to do with Brian Burns. You probably have to give Derek Brown some money. You're losing a couple of veterans, but if you can add a wide receiver and change the protection scheme and sort of the offensive approach, I think it's really being undersold how much how many, Hayden Hurst said it this week, but he's like, Bryce Young had too many voices in his ear. And Joe Person for The Athletic reported that you
know, most of those voices were defensive pass rushers who were in his ear because they were sacking him.
Or Ike Ekwonu stumbling backwards.
Being knocked back. Like when you say fix the protection scheme, I was thinking like a light switch turning from off to on.
Well, but you know what's interesting is they ran down the stretch last year when Steve Wilkes took over. They ran the ball like 63% of the time.
I remember.
Which is just an outrageous number.
And they were good at it.
Yeah. Did you write about this? No.
I didn't write about it. But I mean, I remember. Well, of course, because we're best ball nerds. It's like all the, you know, Chuba Hubbard. I had.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's actually kind of good now.
Oh, cool. You trade McCaffrey and you're good at running the ball. That's weird.
Yeah.
But I think that the offensive line that they have is designed to run, and you had this Frank Reich, Thomas Brown came in and he wants to change the way that you block, sort of bringing the Rams type of scheme. Frank Reich didn't work with Thomas Brown. And so they tried to, this is David Tepper's biggest issue. He's like, made Matt Rhule hire Joe Brady and made Frank Reich hire Thomas Brown. It's like, go get this all-star coaching staff. No, like, dude, just hire a football coach and let him do what he wants to do. Like, let the football coach the football. And I think some schematic changes, this team is really bad, but I think they have more upside for 2024 than the Titans.
Right. And I think Tennessee, in comparison, don't know what they're doing at quarterback. Will Levis up and down, maybe better at his best than Bryce Young, but certainly not great by any means. Infrastructure questions about the offensive line, the defensive line, where there's some free agents or, you know, definitely some older players as well. Questions in the secondary, bad drafts the past few years. I think a coach who made their players better. I don't know if the next guy is going to be any more appealing. Maybe it'll be Harbaugh. Yeah, I think it's like the classic, like maybe they'll just hire the best coach available.
I think it's somebody from San Francisco. Cause Rand Carthen was in San Francisco.
Right. Maybe it's Bobby Slowick. Right.
Yeah. Well, Frank Smith. We talked about this on the Pick Six pod with myself and John Breach, but it's like, okay, it's Jeff Fisher, who the Titans head coach? It's like Jeff Fisher, Mike Munchak, Ken Whisenhunt, Mike Mularkey, and Mike Vrabel. Just like it's like a bowl of tapioca. We need Frank Smith in here ASAP.
Yeah, I could see that. And you're right. I think Harbaugh's going to go to a place where he has some personal control, and that won't happen in Tennessee. It looks like Rand Carthen won that battle with Vrabel. So I have them last. So they were second to last on my list, but ahead of the Commanders. Sounds like you had them last on your list.
Yes, dead last. I think if the Panthers had their first round pick, then Tennessee would be a worse job.
I agree. And I think, frankly, you convinced me on the Commanders having the number two pick. I'd put them ahead of Tennessee with hindsight. So we've now guaranteed that Tennessee is going to make the playoffs next year. So congratulations to Titans fans. But until then, Will, before people yell at us for reverse jinxing the Titans, where can people check out your thoughts on the NFL?
Of course, CBSSports.com. Lots of writing there. The Pick Six Podcast, wherever you find podcast, on Twitter/X at Will Brinson.
Thanks so much to Will Brinson. Hope you guys enjoyed that idea. Really like doing it, frankly. I think we're going to do that again next year. That was a fun one. We have more audio coming over the rest of the postseason. We still have two shows a week coming through the rest of the postseason, I believe. Plenty of stuff for us to discuss. We talked about the teams who have not made the postseason today on the show, but we'll talk about the teams who did make the postseason and what they did next week as we recap Wild Card Weekend. So hope you guys enjoyed this one, and more audio next week here on The Bill Barnwell Show.